Hargy, Hargy. I declare myself pickled pink about...
Yo, Jay, what's up, man? It's Giggles.
David Giggles, it's not trash.
I think you just became my personal hero.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Yeah, fuck it, dude. Let's go bowling.
I got my hair out. I got my muscle brown. Giggles going all out.
What do I...
All right. Let's turn us down a little bit. Give me a sign, Christos, that we are on the air.
Give us a sign. Tell us how we sound. I hear him clicking away in there.
I do. You know, he's just rocking away in there.
So Christos, our producer, is in there clicking away, telling us something. He's letting us know what's going on.
Sure. All right. So here we are. We don't know if we're broadcasting or not. Why don't you go around the room, introduce everyone, and let things happen. And I'm going to go find out what's happening there real quick.
All right. So this is Giggles. We got a big show for you tonight, folks. It is large and in charge. We got four dudes that rolled in with the Volvo. It's Raymond and Dylan, and they got Yellowbird. And then I can hear you guys. I hear you guys in the other room.
Ramon and Dylan.
Yes. Guys, I'm sweating bullets out here. I'm sweating. You guys are leaving me out on the plank.
How you doing out there?
I'm freaking out here. I'm sweating.
Just
you sure? Okay, so Dave and I went to Williamsburg, and we interviewed some hipsters, and we were at the Brooklyn Williamsburg Craft Fair, and we went around there. We got some sound bites for you later, but let me give it to you right now. This week, we're bringing you a show worthy of keeping you here on Earth. Beginning this week, we're going to delve into the world of it. You know what? I'm not going to read this. I'm going off the cuff, guys. I'm going balls deep tonight. So Ramon and Dylan, they're in studio. We're going to get to them in like 15 minutes once we figure out this stuff. What's happening?
Christos shut the window down, so nothing was coming through because the window wasn't open.
What window?
The blocked or the stream window.
What a jeez.
All right. Anyway, let's start the show off right again. All right. So I am Dave. In studio with me, as always, is Giggles. And in the other room, which for a first time, there's a lot of firsts tonight. A
lot of firsts.
Okay, everyone, let's just calm down. You're all worked up.
I'm all worked up.
Everyone's in the studio, and it looks really good. For the first time for Dave and Giggles, we have a full band going, which is really impressive. We have a Wurlitzer piano. We have acoustic guitars. We have drums. We have a lot of crazy sound gadgets that kind of shake and rattle and do their thing.
Why am I hearing him typing away in there? It's crazy.
He'll type. That's what's
He's
going on.
There
so I am Dave. Of course, with me is Giggles. Turn me down a little bit. You can call us, 646-915-9228. Give us a call. Let us know what's going on with you. All right, so what's going on, buddy? You calm down yet?
I'm a little calm. I'm excited.
Yeah,
things are in the works. Things are happening.
All right.
We're still on Earth.
Yeah, we still are on
Earth. We still are here. The rapture didn't happen.
Okay.
But who's to say tomorrow couldn't be the day?
He is never calm. Well, tomorrow could be the day. So I guess we could get into the rapture stuff right off the bat. But so we are still here, and there's nothing happening. We went out today, and we did some interviews with people talking about, like, how the rapture affected them. I did text you yesterday, didn't I, and asked you if you prayed right before?
No, I didn't.
You didn't pray?
It's not going to be
You're a praying man, though. How come you didn't fear? You had no fear.
I had no fear. I didn't think it was going to happen.
No.
I didn't believe it. It's a quack. All these guys are quacks.
It's a quack.
You know, anybody with the right sort of media outlet, this guy who's got, you know, millions of dollars and millions of radio stations and all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody who'll listen to him, it just says how kind of like sheep we are. We're all a bunch of pawns. Sheep.
Sheep and pawns. All right.
I'm sweating.
You are sweating.
I'm just
You're looking fine, though. You're looking great. We did go out and we did some recording. I guess we'll play that. I mean, if you guys want to put on your headphones, and also if you want to put on your headphones, if you want to, your friends want to call, you'll be able to hear them and all that and all this stuff. And I would suggest, so the band we have in is Ramon and Dylan.
Ramon and Dylan.
And the good people, they got their friends here in their band and everything. And I want you guys to call up and let them know, dropping things, let them know what's going on. So, I mean, you guys don't have the headphones, but I mean, everything is cool. But I just want to get into a little bit of what we did today. So we went outside, we did a little interview, we did a little happen and hippin' and hoppin', and I guess we'll play that right now. All right, buddy, how you feeling?
I'm all right. I'm better.
Calm? All right. Where are we? You let me know where we're at.
I'm going to let you know where we're at. We're about to head into the Brooklyn Flea Market.
Where's that?
It's on North 9th. North 8th, North 7th.
In?
Oh, Williamsburg.
There
Williamsburg.
You go. All right, so we're in Brooklyn. So I'd like to hear what they think about the Doomsdud.
The Doomsdud. Is that what you're calling it now?
The Doomsdud.
All right.
I'm Russell. And?
Ryan.
Hi, I'm Saglar.
I'm David Sokosh.
Brady Landreth.
So yesterday, 6 p.m., you're sitting there waiting for the rapture. What happened?
It's a little bit of a letdown.
What was your thoughts like right before it?
I need a pedicure.
Okay. 6 o'clock p.m., were you looking at your watches being like, you know, do I have it timed right? Is it going to happen?
Yeah, yeah. I'm really conscious about whether they're running. Are they running right?
Now, did you guys go out last night?
Absolutely.
Did you guys get wasted?
Yeah.
It was a good excuse for everybody to go out and get drunk, you know.
Let's we'll do a little antique roadshow at some of this stuff, and we guess the price, and we're gonna ask them, see if we get it right.
I'm gonna have Giggles guess on how much they cost. Johnny Versace, Lady Gaga, 70s vintage sunglasses. Go.
I was gonna say $250.
Make it twice. Actually, I was expecting more of like a big parade of sorts.
So far, like, they better.
Yeah, well, it's true. A lot of people do.
Did you celebrate it?
A ton of cupcakes. Just for my own gluttony. Actually, somebody was mentioning something. Like, oh, come say bye. I'm like, are you leaving somewhere? Are we going? And they said, like, oh, my God, it's the end of the world. I'm like, it better not be because I have a date tonight.
I live right next to a Catholic school. We went out in the fire escape, and we were watching. Like, it was, like, 5:58. We're like, we got to watch the Catholic school and see if anyone's, like, disappeared yet.
We're going to do a little trivia. Dave is going to guess where you're from.
I'm going to say New Zealand.
How did you guess, Dave? That was pretty amazing.
You had something that you wanted to get off your chest before the rapture. What would it be?
I have no regrets. I knew that everything was all right in the world because New Zealand, the sun had already risen a whole day beforehand.
How bad are you going to feel if 6 o'clock comes and they're right? When
Man, how'd you like that?
Yeah.
Did you like that little piece?
I liked it a lot. You cut that within like an hour.
I cut that within like an hour and put it together. It was easy. But if you guys want at any point, so we got in the band and said, studio, turn them up, turn them on. You guys want to say something, it's cool with me, jump in. But I definitely want to talk about yesterday. And I find it interesting in the fact that it became this like large nationwide hysteria. But it wasn't a hysteria and like, oh my God, we're running in the streets. But it became this like, hey, there's something happening worldwide. We all kind of know it. And it's like, oh my God, something's going to happen. But nothing really is going to happen. Nobody believed the media hype. But the media hype was there.
But where did it come from?
That's really good, interesting. So I guess there's this one guy who I tried to check out his website today. And it is down. I don't know if it's
why.
Yeah.
Is everyone else checking that?
Exactly. So like, where did what was he thinking? And like, and this is really, I picture it, and I picture it, everyone, him and his followers, which are probably like his family, you know, like sitting around, like countdown, as if it were the new year. So they're all like 10, 9, and they get down to 1, and they're like.
Cricket. Well, you want to play that cricket?
And then they're like, where is my crickets? That would be really awesome. If... There it is.
There it is. There it is.
There it is. So, like, what were they thinking? It's just interesting to me that... What did you do with my beer?
I put it over there. Because I wanted, like, elbow space. I wanted
to
get... I think we're about relaxed.
You know, we saw.
Oh, yeah. Space shuttle. I totally forgot about that. Well, yeah, all day, you know, we were... You know, I guess I was. I was just, like, you know, looking at Twitter and... Facebook, which I probably shouldn't have been doing.
Twitter, and, the ultimate news.
You know, everyone's, you know, making, you know, posting YouTube videos of, you know, Blondie Rapture.
Sure,
and,
sure.
You know, all sorts of, like, end-of-the-world themes and stuff.
Hilarious.
Like that. I can curse on this, right?
So, you can curse all the fuck you want.
All right, cool. Yeah, so I was just like, hey, guys, you know, it really might be the end of the world, you know? And then I was kind of like, no, it's not going to happen. And I called my mom, and or she actually texted me, which is kind of funny because my mom finally got a texting plan after, like, you know,
old 5 years don't know
of being
how
able to
use anything.
Do that.
Yeah.
And she texted me, was just like, you know, I was like, how you doing? She said,
it's not going to stop.
You know, I'm feeling okay, except for the fact that it could be the end of the world.
So yeah, she's kind of like,
I was like, oh, mom.
Don't buy into it. Well, my mom's buying into it. Funny, like, there's like, because I was doing a shoot yesterday and I was surrounded by all these dancers. And, yeah, exactly. So I was surrounded by all these dancers and, like, they were all like, haphazardly kind of nervous about it. They were kind of like, oh, it's a rapture. We should all go get drunk. And then if the end of the world happens, it'll be kind of weird. So it was like, there was this aura of like, maybe there's a chance.
Oh.
Maybe there's a chance. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
man,
well,
that's kind of weird.
The space shuttle. Or whatever the hell we thought it was.
Yeah, so we're packing up after this gig last night.
Hug into that mic. Get in there.
Get right in there.
Come on.
Right,
don't be afraid.
What time is it? It was like, it's probably 1:30 in the morning at this point. We're packing up our stuff. Just played this big show, and we're all, like, you know, tired, ready to go out, ready to go home.
Ready to rock.
Ramon's putting some stuff in the car, and I come over, and he's looking at the sky, and he's got this look on his face, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? and I look up, and there's this, like, orange...
weird glow.
...aura of some sort, and it's just floating around, and it's, like, floating towards us, and then, you know, we look away, and then we look back up, and it's over here to the left... And, you know,
it's God
we don't
just
know
flying around.
Like, oh, it's just a plane. You know,
it's cool.
But everyone was like,
funny,
people in the street
was
like, what the hell?
People, yeah. Like, everybody was stopped and taking pictures.
And it was like,
it
was seen at, like, Independence Day.
Weird.
Yeah, like,
it was
like,
really strange.
God.
And we were like, it's not getting closer. We're okay.
It's very bizarre. Jeez. Yeah.
The best part about this whole thing to me is this guy who made this prediction, made the same exact prediction in 1994 that
exactly, and I think in another year too. I think
right,
Christos
yeah,
has
I think
it,
maybe another time. It's just, like, oh, actually, I added wrong, hit the wrong button on my calculator, and
yeah, it's just weird. Like, why in 1994 was it not a big deal? But why this time was it a big deal? Are we, like, more of, like, a panic culture?
I think it's because we're close to 2012.
So. Is that it? Everyone's just kind of like, yeah, let's end of the world fever.
And I think it does have to do with the fact that, like, everyone's more in touch with, like, social media and stuff like that. I mean, the fact that, like, I was even, like, seeing all these, like, little Twitter updates.
People
can
get their voice out.
Yeah. And Christos, I wish he had a microphone. But
I unplugged his mic because he was typing away in there.
And he was saying a big reason he thinks is because of the internet. The internet kind of, like, sensationalized it.
Oh, yeah.
Did anyone, like, all right, so it's 5:55. Did anyone, like, think, like, take stock in their life? Like, think, hey, I'm going to text this person? Like, you said you texted your mom.
Well, yeah, I mean, I spoke to my father, actually, before that, and he was just like, you know, just believe that there might be some sort of other power out there and, you know that you're a good dude and, you know, you'll see what happens.
And just feel it.
And he's like, and then he also said, I'll talk to you tomorrow. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Let's get on that subject here for a little bit. Do you guys, I mean, I just had a...
this is why...
I'm crossing my...
I don't let you talk.
I've got a piece of paper in my hand.
You're comfortable.
I'm comfortable.
All right, break it out for me.
We're all comfortable.
What kind of angers me about this is that we're all talking... I mean, I guess it's okay, but that we're all talking about it. So whether he's right or he's wrong,
he
wins.
Yeah, he did something right.
So why aren't we talking about, like, you know, poverty?
Turn yourself down a little bit.
How about now?
Yeah, fine.
I'm just
fine.
Well, see,
no, go on.
But why aren't we talking about poverty or unemployment or hunger or shit like this? But we're talking about this Joker and saying that it's 6 p.m. and people are
What?
I'm getting worked up. They believe in it. You know, they buy
about
into it.
The next day,
yeah.
It didn't happen.
I mean, I guess it gives us.
We're talking
dog.
About it.
It does.
None of us even believe it, and we're
exactly.
talking about it.
Exactly. Yeah. But I feel like as a culture, it's the most interesting thing as a culture. We're either A, looking for something to party about, looking for something to drink about.
True.
Or B, just looking for something to just hold on to. And why do you think that is? Why do you think we just need something? Something bigger than ourselves to, like, talk about, to, like, wonder about, to think about? Why can't we live now? Because we live in ourselves.
What happens when we die?
That's the bottom line.
That's like, it's one of those questions, no matter what you believe in, Hindu and Judaism.
Turn yourself up a little bit.
What, now you're telling me.
Yeah, that's the way I roll.
You're telling me I'm a hot.
I know.
You're telling me to turn me
just,
up.
I don't know what it is, but.
I can't. Okay.
You're okay.
So, but whatever religion you are, there's something, whatever happens when you die, you're done. You know, for
yeah,
that point, whether you go to this,
that's the freaky part about
it's
it.
The you don't really know, no matter what religion you are, you don't really know. So I think this is it's a hot topic, and people want to.
Sure.
You know,
let me ask. I'm going to ask the whole group here because we got a large group happening. A
lot of dudes.
Who's afraid of death?
I'd say to say that you're not.
Think about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was looking at that, you know, pseudo space shuttle in the sky,
pseudo space
shuttle. Actually thinking, I was like, wow. Maybe this is fucking true.
Maybe this is real.
And
this
is, I was like, death
is. We might die. And, you know, when him saying, you know, Will over here saying that, you know, I saw this look in his face and everyone kind of had that same look.
Yeah.
It was like, shit, we really might fucking die right now. Yeah. And we don't know what happens when we die. And I was just like, you know, I was telling him, I'm like, yeah, let's just keep packing up the van, you know, keep moving. But in the meantime, I'm like still looking over like, oh my God, I might die.
Because we were joking about it for weeks beforehand, like, oh, this show's gonna end the world, like as soon as we're done playing, like
the end of the world show,
the end of the world, and you know, into the abyss or whatever.
I mean, it really starts to make you think about like you feel that way all the time. We could all always just die.
I'm not like
at any moment.
Not a very religious person. And but I guess my dad was kind of funny because he was just like kind of outlining, you know, different religions. And like what they really believe in, and what other power they believe in, and it was just kind of funny. He was talking about, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, Jesus is actually the only one that it's documented that he rose from the dead. He's he's like, you got to say something about that. But then again, there's a whole other, you know, and it's not even like my dad's religious, you know. But I think it was more of like trying to say like, hey, like you don't, you know, nothing happens to you when you die. But then there also is a lot of physics and. You know, science behind that.
Sure.
Potentially, nothing could happen when you die.
Sure.
You
know, we could just black out.
And that's the scary part.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd say I'm afraid of death now because I feel like I still have a lot of life left to live.
Sure.
Ooh, I like that.
It's hard to predict. You know, you get old, you're 80, you have lived a lot then, and it's like maybe you're kind of okay. That's when you
come sure.
to terms because you know that it's probably more acceptable.
Yeah, like the guy with the radio station was like 89 years old, too.
Yeah, he's an old motherfucker.
Rich.
Wait, the guy old. That predicted?
Yeah, the guy who predicted is this old dude. Let me ask you this, though.
Rich.
So,
maybe he was talking about
yeah, he's rich.
Attack.
They were talking about, I was reading this article about how he has like some kind of like $75 million bankroll that he has from his followers that just donate to him.
Right.
And they put like $140K into this whole thing.
Can we figure out a way that we can...
Yeah, seriously, guys.
Yeah, sorry.
But here's the interesting thing when you're saying you're afraid of death, and here's something I heard the other day and I thought of. We've only been here for such a short period of time as far as history is concerned, right? So after we're afraid of this death, which I completely agree with you. Sure, I'm afraid of death because it's the end, right? But were we afraid before we were born? We weren't here for a lot longer than we are here. If we weren't afraid before we were born, I mean,
wait,
granted, what
before you came out of
before
the
you came out, yeah. So
but you didn't know, like
you, didn't know, exactly. So why would you know after? It's probably like there's some other type of same kind of mentality. You won't really feel this whole like transition. Kind of just happen.
Yeah. I'm looking at the other guys. You guys answer that question.
Wait, I've never thought about it like that. But that is
when you say you wouldn't
feel
after, you mean after you die?
Sure, after you die. Like, what if after you die is before you were born? You don't know before you were born.
It's like a cycle.
It's just like this cycle. I mean, I'm not predicting that I know what's going to happen. Not by any means. But it's just like interesting how before you were born, you don't know. But there must have been something.
Yeah.
So whatever it's going to be.
No secrets.
Let's walk around the room and get, like, names. Because we've been on such a rush and such a kick. Let's really, like, introduce the band here.
All right. I'm Ramon Narvaez, and I am part of Ramon and Dylan. One half.
Nice.
One half.
Or rather, one fourth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. There you go, Will. Want to introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm Dylan, and I'm like... I think I'm like 5/17 of Ramon and Dylan.
There you go.
My name is Liam. I'm fortunate enough to play bass and a little guitar for Ramon and Dylan, and I also am a solo songwriter under the name Yellow Bird.
Nice.
I'm Will Fagan. I play drums and percussion, and I also play drums for Cody Beware.
Cody Beware. Nice, Cody Beware. We're going to play one of their songs.
We're going to try. We got an iPod possibly, right?
We do. Oh, yeah. We're all set up.
Shit
all
is hot.
Shit is
I'm over
hot.
Here. I'm doing, you guys pull it all out.
But what I want to really tell about these guys is they're going to play in studio. They're not just here talking, because we... You know, who wants to talk to musicians? We want to hear musicians play, you know?
So you
they're all soft-spoken and just all, you know, hanging out in the Volvo for like, you know.
All right, that's a good idea. Why don't we play the first song, right? And then we'll come back and then we're going to talk music, because I want this to be the music show, because we got the full band in. So some things I want to talk about when we come back, so think about it while you're playing.
You really
I want to talk about
over there.
Yeah, making hop two.
Hop two, get up to it.
So when we come back, I want to talk about how you guys enjoy the road, where you make your money, what else you do, and where do you think the music industry is and how it works for you and against you.
Oh boy!
Wow.
I know exactly. So I really want to get into
how
detail.
Long do you have?
You got all
back
night,
Northeastern
man.
University.
Exactly.
Ramon and Dylan.
Yeah. All right. So the first song you guys are gonna play, give me a title.
So this is called Sleeping Robots.
Sleeping Robots.
And it goes a little like this. Say hello. Then you'll know. Some
fantastic.
Nice work, guys.
Excellent.
Nice work. What was the name of that song?
Sleeping Robots.
Sleeping Robots. Robots. Dylan
Raymond.
And Ramon and Dylan. And Dylan. So Ramon and Dylan. Is it RamonandDylan.com?
Yes.
RamonandDylan.com. Nice. I believe you got a bunch of songs up there, too.
Yeah, there's so, a few songs. Yeah, some demos we've kind of produced over the last, you know, year and a half or so. And all kind of, most of those songs are going to be on our record that we're working on at the moment.
Nice.
Nice.
Very cool.
Sweet, guys. So we got four guys in the studio.
Sure.
Let's see. Let's give a visual for our listeners at home, just so they know what's going on right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ramon's playing guitar. We got Dylan playing a, what is that, a Wurlitzer?
Yeah, this is a Wurlitzer 200A piano.
Wow, that is classic. It's old. What do you think the age is on that?
It was made probably in the mid-70s, like 75, 76.
It's a beautiful sounding nice. Instrument.
And then Will, right?
Yes.
Will is playing percussion, and don't worry about that.
Also a drum from the 70s.
Also a drum. I turned you down. There you go.
Why'd now you turn him down? Why would you turn a man
percussion.
Down?
I had the percussion down a little
all
bit.
Right, all right.
And then we got Yellowbird, a.k.a. Liam, who was doing a little vocals and
little percussion, little vocals. I'll play guitar in a little minute.
Nice,
very nice.
I'm excited. I'm brimming with excitement. Yep. Now I'm a little bit more relaxed because earlier I was all
you all worked up. You got all worked up for the first half of the show.
I
That's something that happens. But so, when does the record come out? You were talking about the record, the new. Why do we call it a record anymore?
I always say that.
Yeah, I know we do.
It doesn't have to mean vinyl, you know.
It's a record of a whole bunch of songs put together.
It's a record of a lot of things. Yeah, it's a record of how you sound, how you feel, you know.
How are you feeling right now?
I feel great.
Nice.
Let me ask you this: is this the first time you guys have done like a radio show?
This is the first time.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
This is big. It's a night of first.
Sure. It's a night of first.
It's a weekend of first.
It's a weekend of first.
I just lost my virginity.
Nice.
Nice.
Wow. Liam comes strong with the truth.
First day in the world. So let's talk about this record. You guys obviously must have other jobs besides musicians, or are you lucky enough to make money doing what you love?
No. We do other stuff.
What kind of other stuff do you, if you want to talk about it, if you can?
He
seems like he doesn't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
It's all right. I don't want to talk about
musician.
We want to talk about music. So let's talk about music. How are you guys in the indie? Or would you guys classify yourselves as indie, emo? What are you guys? You got a beard. What are you? He's got glasses. Yeah, I don't want to say.
What you doing with that beard?
Yeah.
The percussionist has a sort of a Tour de France hat on, a cycling hat. You know?
I like where you're going with this.
I'm just giving the people visuals. Yellowbird's got a beard.
I do.
And sort of a hipster haircut.
Will's
you know,
got,
everybody's
got like a
sure
religious beads.
ETF today.
Yeah, Will's got a shirt with a big ass butt on it.
Nice. Big ass butt.
Big ass butt.
DTF today. I will say that's down to fornicate, right?
Down to fornicate.
To fornicate.
DTF.
The F bomb takes it to a new level.
It does. It does.
Down to fuck.
Hey, see, I'm one of those guys. Square jar. I'm one of those guys. Just because you can curse doesn't mean you should.
Doesn't mean you should or doesn't mean.
We might have some young listeners.
Being that this was our first radio show actually on the car on the way over here, we were talking about this. We're like, can we curse? And we were talking about I curse all the fucking time. And
me fucking too, man.
I was talking about you ever with someone like. And they don't curse a lot. You spend a few hours of the day with them, and they haven't said like shit like once.
Yeah, and you're like, that's
like
weird.
Horrible shit has happened to them, and you're like, why aren't you?
And that's weird,
yourself?
Dude. Why aren't you cursing?
And like, it makes me feel uncomfortable then, that I curse so much, you know? Yeah.
It's weird that in this HR place we're in,
right.
I really find because I work at a place where it's like mostly like 20 to 40 year old people, so like. I can pretty much say what I want. No one cares. You know, no one gives a shit. So, like, living in the city really allows you to be able to, like, not give a shit what you do because it's really accepting. Like, anything's
totally
accepting,
true.
You know? Like, you can have 40 piercings in your face. No one's going to care. They're still going to hire
There's
you.
There's enough people that are going to be like, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I don't care.
Okay.
But, like, I guess I just lost touch with, like, the suburban lifestyle where I just don't get it anymore. But, like... Is it like that outside here? Is the city like the really last place where you can really be an adult?
It might be.
Yeah.
Wait, what does being adult mean?
Where you could just walk around and be R-rated.
So you can say curse words.
You can say curse words because we love to curse.
Adult in that way, I guess.
Yeah.
Be super cool with your friends. Mm.
It might be.
Or sexually harassing.
Or bars in the suburbs, maybe.
All right, speaking of sexual, I got a question from our producer, Christos, who I want to say is doing a fantastic job.
Who just asked me to ask the guys, who's the oldest woman they've banged?
Oh, boy.
Will.
Let's have it, Will. I've had a run-in with a MILF before.
50s or 60s?
60s.
60s.
Mid-40s.
That ain't too bad.
Wow.
Call up the guy. Call up and talk to the boys. 646-915-9228. Let us know what's going on out there.
A little slow. 646.
Wait, so how old? Mid-40s? Sorry to interrupt.
No, totally. We're going to get into that in a second.
My mom still talks about you all the time.
646-915-9228. Give us a call if you want to talk to these guys. Ramon and Dylan. If you're the mom that Will was doing.
Sure, we want to talk to you.
We want to talk to you.
So, was it band related? Like, were you at a gig?
It's very funny. Yes, it was.
Turn him up. Get into that mic.
It's a funny story. I'll just start it from the beginning.
I like it.
I just started playing with this band. I was 20 years old. I had a fake ID. I used to go to this and jam with these guys. Then they asked me to play with them. They had a gig, whatever. It's like this old black guy. He's like a James Brown-esque type
race car
entertainer. So
there goes the mic.
After the gig, I'm packing up my stuff, and there's this woman there, and she's looking good. But she's just staring at me every time I walk by. So eventually I go up to her. I'm like, can I help you with something?
Can I help you with my penis?
Whatever. So end up talking to her. She's like, are you single? Yes.
Wow.
I like it. She was straight to the point.
Yeah. They don't mess around when they're at that age.
No, and then we went back to her place and proceeded.
Her dungeon.
But the thing was, in the morning, no, it was no dungeon. It was nice.
She had cats?
She have a husband? Suburban
condo. Yeah. She have cats? She have a husband? She had a dog.
We'll play Scrabble.
She had goldfish.
No, in the morning I wake up in the bed, and in the morning there's a picture of two girls, you know, on the wall. So I'm like, oh. It's like, oh, those are your nieces or something. She's like, oh, those are my girls. So I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
So
did you notice a difference, or were you too drunk that she had two girls?
Oh, no. She was actually very, you know, there was a lot of tension.
Yeah, so a lot of tension.
Yeah, it was good.
Speaking of tension, how was it down there? Because once you've had a couple kids and,
That's kind of what he was talking about.
It was surprising that she had the children.
Like, did you get, like, a really good look down
taking
there?
Taking your
like,
beer.
No.
Question like that.
You had a flashlight. It was pretty crazy.
I'm just saying that the things that I've heard about older women weren't true when I actually experienced them.
As a mom, did she make you breakfast in the morning?
She didn't, no.
No.
I think it was more of me wanting to get out of there.
Get the fuck out. Like, oh my God, what did I do?
It was a second encounter, and then the third encounter was her boyfriend texting me from her phone and telling me to meet up with her and all. Getting into a fight with four of her friends.
No, you can't go wrong with that.
You met up or did not meet up?
No, I was in the city. She was in the city. I texted her. He answered the text. He answered her text telling me to come to the bar where they were at.
Wait, like saying, hey.
So I got a bunch of my buddies together. I was like, yo, there's probably a bunch of hot older chicks at the bar. So good thing I did that because they ended up being outside when this huge guy that this guy was friends with dragged me outside. And, like, they were, like, trying to talk. We just want to talk to you. And all this stuff. And then my friends were outside. They're like, what the hell is going on? It was a big ordeal. And then I was just, like, basically told the guy that I had sex.
Who was your friend? Like, Rick Springfield or something?
He was big. I don't know.
That'd be awesome.
He was a big guy.
So let's talk about this.
What?
Have you guys, speaking of, like, you guys are musicians. Have you ever gotten laid just because you're a musician? Is it a good card to play?
I usually don't play it, but, excuse me, I won't say it hasn't happened, but, you know, it's just, I think it was, like, more of, like, a...
Well, you're wearing a cardigan. I don't think it's, like, you know...
Yeah.
You're not that kind of guy that's, like, I'm a rock star.
No, he kind of is. He kind of... Don't be fooled.
Yeah.
Are you saying that the cardigan wearer, the lone songwriter doesn't get the girls?
I got a cardigan, but I also got a hairy chest in my button.
Ladies love the hairy chest. The
cardigan comes off.
Just give that, vision out there. But, yeah, I mean, there's times where people are just, like, wow, you know... You play guitar so well, blah, 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 but... I don't think it was ever because
get out of here.
That only. Because then, obviously, after that, I'm talking and...
Yeah, you got
to
have a little...
You know, you can't just be like, hey, all right, cool, let's go have sex now. It doesn't work that way.
If it was that easy, we don't, you know, everybody
you know,
would...
So, yeah, it's just... I guess, yeah, it's a combination.
It helps.
Oh my God, that's a good answer. It helps.
So you're saying you don't play the card, but has the card ever been played? Have you ever gone down that road?
I did.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It kind of.
We're gonna get to you in a second.
Talented girls want to be with talented guys.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
Whatever you want it to
mean.
You know, like cardigan comes off. Type shit.
Nice. It totally comes off.
Some might say it's More Than Words by Extreme. Is there like panty dropper song? What's your panty dropper song when the chick's in your room and you're gonna serenade her? You got a panty dropper song?
Well, it was actually kind of funny
because I want to hear it.
I kind of do too.
You know,
and I want you to drop your panties.
We played a show about a week and a half ago. I guess you know this is gonna lead into what the panty dropper song is, but. This comedian, a friend of my brother's who's a stand-up comic, also, he came up to me, he was just like, man, that one song you guys have with the slide guitar and the big drums and all that stuff, he was like, as if you guys weren't going to get laid, and all of a sudden you guys come out and you do this one song where it's just like you on drums and Dylan doing an acoustic, and then he like unplugs everything and just like goes out in the crowd and, you know, does an acoustic, he's like, give us a chance, you know? And I would say like the song we're probably play at the end of the, I would say the song we're probably gonna play at the end of the show tonight is kind of.
It gets real.
It gets real.
Our panty dropper song.
Oh, ladies, wait for
we
that.
We were told once, Ramon and I were at a party once, and this chick came up to us, and Ramon sings on this song Down Under that we have, and she was telling us that. She's telling us that she likes to fuck her girlfriend to Down
Under. Nice. Wow. You've reached the next level on that one, being sex songs.
It was the first time anyone like said anything to me about a song that like I didn't know this girl like previously.
That's pretty badass. Nice. Being a sex song.
And that's just based on like a demo, you know. It wasn't like we put the record out or
really
anything
yet.
It was just like I was like, oh my god, like they're like bumping this.
Nice. You know? Girls too.
Yeah.
You know?
One was like, one had like a mohawk, like dude cut. The other one was like real, like feminine.
It's gotta be one.
Nice.
Generally how it works.
All right, so I wanna get you guys into playing another song, because this is the show about music. It's a two part music series. Next week we're gonna have a music critic on. But this week we got you guys, Ramon and Dylan.
And I know I promised before we would talk about the actual, like, the way you make your music and all that. We're coming back with that.
Of course.
We're coming back.
So,
but what we're going to do right now is actually...
And I also want to come back, and I Dylan spotted me before, and he says, I've had one experience with a chick.
Okay, we technically already talked about that.
Yeah, all right, cool.
Really quick, before we'll let you guys get set up, but, like, how did you guys, Ramon and Dylan, come together?
Yeah, go ahead.
They're so polite.
They are. They're very polite.
Would you like me to say?
We both went to Northeastern in Boston, and they have, like, the whole co-op thing. Where you work for 6 months and then you go back to school and you work for 6 months again, and you know, hopefully by like 9 years you graduate.
Nice.
But we were both interning at a an artist management company, and he was, I think, sophomore. I was kind of like what they call a middler, which is like third year student there, and
we hated it.
But
it was the fucking worst job.
And I think that was like the first thing we had in common.
Yeah.
And
hate is probably the biggest uniter, I think.
But yeah, then you know, it turned into us like, you know, hanging out in this office, shutting the door and watching YouTube videos, like back then, like the Unforgiven video that was on, and like just kind of, you know.
What's the Unforgiven? Oh,
yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, exactly.
When was that time that you guys were like, let's make music?
This is 2007, and then, you know, towards the end of the internship. You know, we would take these two-hour lunch breaks where we would just go to his apartment up the street and start kind of just recording. And, you know, it was just like ideas.
Just wouldn't go back to work.
Yeah, we didn't want to go back to
work.
And, you know, we really tried, you know, we came from this, you know, mindset of, you know, we got to get a band together. Now we need a bass player and a drummer because, you know, we were primarily guitar players. And we kind of kicked around with that for a while until about a year later, we were just like, you know, I think we can maybe just kind of record all the instruments ourselves and
totally.
Really, you know, we were the main songwriters and see where it comes
right.
from that.
And I think that's like something I want to get into when we come back. But the idea of like just being able to open up your laptop, open up your computer, and just being able to record an entire album with one to two people.
It's kind of what
and,
this band.
Yeah, and like you couldn't have done this 20, 30 years ago.
No.
You know, it was just like completely revolutionized everything. In a good way or a bad way, I'm not quite sure. But I think when we come back, we're going to hash that out.
Cool.
Sure. Now, the song we're playing now is actually Liam's going to play. Liam's a solo songwriter, goes by Yellowbird. And we're going to play one of his songs that we actually kind of all teamed up together. And
Ramon played, Liam played this for us in his underwear at like 10 o'clock in the morning in our apartment one day, and we decided to drop a beat on it. And
I like it. Nice. And there's a lot of whispering going on. I need to know what's going on.
I'll clear up the whispering.
What's the whispering?
I need to text someone and tell them where to listen to this right now.
Sure.
DaveandGiggles.blogspot.com.
And then at the top of the page, there's a link you click on to go to Ustream, where that's where
we're at. I can't believe
we're
telling this musician where to go.
Sure. I mean, let's go check it out, you know? Pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet.
We got a lot of listeners. So when we come back, I also want the listeners out there, when we come back, call up and let us know what you think about the boys. 646-915-9228. Write that down. I'm going to say it one more time. Get a pen. Get a pen. Get a piece of paper. 646-915-9228. Give us a call. Let us know.
Let us know how much.
All right. So what's the name of the song we're going to do right now?
This song is called Self-Preservation.
Self-preservation.
fantastic, guys.
Nice work, guys.
What was the name of that tune?
The song is called Self-Preservation, and that and many more songs are available for free download at yellowbird.com, and Yellowbird is spelled with three D's.
Nice.
Yellowbird DD?
Correct.
Nice.
Yellowbird.com.
Yellowbird.com.
Three D's.com. And then also, if you like Ramon and Dylan, you can go to ramonanddylan.com, and that's RamonDylan.
Ramon and Dylan?
Ramon and Dylan.
Ramon and Dylan.
Ramon and. Sure. No ampersand. The A and D.
So yellowbirdd.com. Where'd you come up with the name for Yellowbird?
Well, Bright Eyes is one of my favorite bands.
Sure.
I have a lyric. Dude, you're the yellow bird I've been waiting for. And it was one of the things where, I kind of attached onto that line, or it stuck in my head, and, like, Yellowbird is my email and a few other things. In this online world that we live in. So when it became time to, when I started becoming more serious about the songs I was writing in my solo project, I know I didn't want it to be my name, and I just kind of fell into that after some thinking, you know, and I like it, so it works.
Nice. I like it.
Beautiful, guys. I want to let you guys know, you guys are doing a great job. I really appreciate you guys coming all the way out to our studio.
I'm psyched, too, because we've never really had a full band in here. We've pretty much had, like, a guitar or two. We had one, a cello player come in, play once. We had, like, a couple guitars with a violin, I think.
Cool.
A couple different things. But never this full. So I really appreciate it, guys.
We're happy to be here.
It's nice.
Mic is on if you want to talk. I put you up a little bit.
So. Yeah, I was just doing a little adjustment.
I was thinking
about how you're saying you came up with a band, like, how was your email and stuff, and I was thinking, like, would my name be, like, you know, Puerto Rican cardigan wearing dude.
Puerto Rican cardigan.
37.
Like, to give you more of an idea of what Ramon looks like, Puerto Rican cardigan wearing dude.
With glasses.
With glasses.
At geocities.com.
That's actually the best description of Ramon ever.
Darryl Hall?
No, John Oates.
John Oates.
I was actually John Oates for Halloween.
Nice.
You gonna be Borat?
Yeah. I will say, Will over here doesn't like the mic. He's talking over here. He's whispering to us.
And he's a drummer. He's a drummer. Yeah,
he's not the worst mic etiquette I've ever...
He was getting the storytelling.
A, never let the drummer talk, and B, never let him write a song. Isn't that the key?
No. All those rules have changed.
Yeah?
Will owns.
Nice.
All those rules have changed.
We're breaking back. How did you guys... So we've got a couple of different bands in here. We got Yellowbird, and we got Ramon and Dylan. Is it a small world, the New York City music scene? Like, do you guys, like, just kind of, like, go, hey, I know this guy who plays in this other band?
I was just going to say, I mean, you guys kind of know better than I do, but it seems to me like there's pockets of knowing people.
Yeah.
That's what I see. Totally. I
mean, yeah, like, even, like, you know, the way we know Liam, you know, another band referred me to his band that he was playing bass in at the time in Boston, and I filled in and played guitar for a few gigs. And then when me and Dylan moved to New York, you know, we were just kind of like, you know, we need to play live. We need to we can't just do this two-man thing. And I thought of him, you know, before anyone else, and I said, you know, if you can, you know, come down and just learn, you know, 5-6 songs, and we'll do, you know, short set. And, you know, really since then, you know, it's just kind of developed into, like, you know, great friendship, great working relationship. And, you know, like, for instance, you know, like, there's thousands of bass players in New York. But, you know, I'd rather, you know, there's no one that, like Liam, for us, at least.
That's really nice.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's somebody you know.
Yeah. It's not some dude that you found on Craigslist that might want to get paid or, you know.
And that's what we were, you know, doing for a little bit, you know. And when he says, like, there's pockets of who you know, like, there's this one group of, you know, people that are too cool for school. You know, hipster, absolutely. I know everything. You know, I know what's hot next. But then there's the other group of, you know, studio musicians where it's this bass player that plays 7 nights a week.
Sure. And 4 different instruments.
Yeah. And I think...
And that's awesome.
But. Yeah, which is great. You know, but for, you know, for what we're doing, we'd rather have just people that we really enjoy being around and hanging out with playing music.
So is this your core group, or do you have, like, other people that you can call on and be like, hey, I got this gig?
Well, to be honest, I mean, I'd love it to be if this could be the core group. You know, this is, you know, Will just started playing with us in the beginning of May, and, you know, that took some time. I was playing with Will. I currently play with Will. We back a hip-hop artist named Cody Beware.
He's awesome.
another great friend of mine.
Wild.
And yeah. Wild word.
We'll play some Cody Beware.
Yeah, we'll
play some Cody Beware.
10:20, we're going to play a little Cody Beware.
Yes, definitely.
10:20.
Perfect.
You know, it was more, you know, me and Will started, you know, I play bass, he plays drums in that band.
It's always a connection with the rhythm section.
Yeah, there's a connection
if
there.
If there isn't, then it's not going to work.
It's more so like, you know, having that musical connection, but then also just like hanging out, you know, and really just vibing out with someone on that level. And I think if you really can't be friends with someone, I think you can't really be playing music. Or
sure.
Not necessarily playing. You can not be friends with someone and play music with.
It's not,
but I think if you're trying to be
sure
in a collaborative, creative environment,
sure,
you have to be friends and you have to respect them.
You said something earlier.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I know.
Because you said,
go ahead.
You said a word earlier that just pissed me the right hell off.
Pillow pissed him off.
Hipster. Now, for some reason, and I don't know what it is, but hipsters anger me.
Get so mad.
I get mad with the mustaches and the tight jeans and the not caring and all this other shit.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Lay into them.
Are we hipsters?
I would see you're like quasi.
We all walk that line.
Well, the only because
that's the thing. You know, I've been called a hipster
by many people.
By many people, you know. Whether it's because of my glasses or, you know, I had a beard for a while, you know, like a real beard.
Like a real, like a long, mean? Like 6 inches
like a manly
more?
Beard, like, hey, you're calling me a hipster, grow this goddamn beard.
It ain't easy. I know it ain't easy.
But
actually, when we were first in New York, Ramon and I were out one night, and this really intoxicated girl walked up to us, and she looked at us, and she pointed to me, and she said, "You're tall." And then she pointed to Ramon and said, "And you're a hipster."
Oh!
No, she said, no. I gotta give credit to the girl that he's talking about. She just said, "I like you guys. You're hipster and you're tall."
It was more.
Yeah, it was more like negative.
It wasn't negative.
You're not even taller than him, are you?
No, he is. Yeah.
Oh, you are?
I also slouch a lot, too. But yeah, no, I think what it starts becoming is more so a lot of people tend to try to lump just, you know, stylistic and, you know, cultural characteristics of people.
Right.
Try to lump that into, oh, that guy's a hipster.
That guy's a hipster.
But really, you know, I've spoken to a lot of hipsters, and that's really where you're just kind of like, oh,
that's
man,
hilarious.
That guy's a goddamn hipster, you know? And
well, I don't know. I just think you'd...
Get into that mic. Get in that mic.
I don't think that we need to be put into categories, really, because how can you put me into a category? I play with a hip-hop artist. I play with Ramon and Dylan. I play with...
That's what
another
hipsters do,
alternative band.
That's what hipsters do.
That's exactly
what hipsters do.
Another thing recently, you know, I was on the road with Liam. We were in Florida, and we were actually visiting the same girl you're talking about that called you tall and me a hipster.
Oh.
And she's a friend of ours. But
it's
that was the first night I met her.
That was like the first night we like hung out.
First thing she said to me.
But we were chilling down
there.
She
has a nice butt.
And, you know,
I like it.
She does.
You know, we were listening
to
we were listening to, like, you know, The National, and she never really heard the band The National. And then after that, she put on, you know, Jack Johnson. And, you know, there's a couple of records of Jack Johnson that, you know, I appreciate and like. You know, I recognize him as a creative artist.
Sure, that Hawaiian bass was good.
She said, "Hey, you know, I think, you know, I really like you and Dylan and Liam based on the fact that, like, you listen to all this stuff that I've probably never heard of, but you don't make me feel bad for not hearing that. But then you also won't ever be ashamed of saying, oh, well, yeah, I like a couple of songs from Jack Johnson."
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that I think a lot of hipsters do. And, I mean, at the same time, I feel bad even calling those people hipsters. I mean, I just think people that are more so just narrow-minded.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think that hipster mentality is like, oh man, you listen to Jack Johnson, that's so like 1997. Let's not even talk about that.
He's mainstream.
He's mainstream.
True.
So when you get mainstream, so like with the LCD connection, like when
sound system?
LCD sound system thing where it's like they got too big, all right, they're gonna play Madison Square Garden, then quit. Like, is that like kind of the whole, like, that was the hipster vibe of being like,
and that's what stinks,
it's,
you know,
too mainstream.
I think a lot of hipsters, like, you know, that's what I said. Like, I don't even mean to say hipster because, you know, that's just a label, but I think it's just people that, you know, like they'll see LCD Sound System and say, "Oh man, they're selling out." You know, they're playing Madison Square Garden, but you
what's
know,
wrong with
look,
selling
yeah,
out?
Yeah, exactly. If you look at it from, you know, the guy from LCD Sound System is like, "I can't believe I'm fucking playing Madison Square
Garden.
Like, this is what I've been wanting to do for a very long time. This is great to be able to do this." he doesn't give a fuck that like some douchebag on North 6 in Bedford is like, hey, well, you guys sell out. You're like, I really want to go to a show at Public Assembly right now and you know, see a show for fucking, you know, some dude that really can't play and, you know, in front of, you know,
we played there
20
last
people.
Night.
Yeah, we played there last night.
Nice. Yeah. I'm talking about it that way. Oh, yeah. Well, that brings me to my point. Ahead. Like, what point do you consider a band selling out? Like, if somebody was just like...
I don't think they ever do.
It's like, never like
you,
that.
You know, it's what you want to do, like, in the music business.
And to be honest...
Especially...
You know, like, sorry to cut you off, but... Nice.
So polite. Know, so polite.
Dylan forwarded me an article recently... with Alan Moore. Alan Moore, what did he write? League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
He's written a million comics.
Watchmen.
Yeah, V for Vendetta.
And his a main point that we both got out of that article is that he was talking about, I wanted to figure out some way for my art to be able to make me have enough money to continue to do art.
Making art.
So that leads me to, can you? Is this what you do, or do you do other things?
I mean, right now, of course, we have to do other things, but that's the goal.
Okay.
And that's where, whether it's...
That's all,
you know,
the goal has ever been.
Having my music in a Reese's Pieces commercial.
Sure. You'd be okay with that. You'd be like...
Because, hey, they're going to say, hey,
that's the age
well,
we live in.
You
yeah,
know,
totally.
Give me this certain amount of money. And I'm like, wow, I can live off that for a few months and continue to do...
Right. And it's only 10, 15 years where we were like, oh, you have a song in a commercial? You completely sold out. We're not even going to pay attention anymore. But, like, I think as far as, like, being a band, the goal is to get a song in a commercial. The goal is to get a song in a movie. The goal is pay the bills.
I mean, the first goal is actually just make the music you want to make and be happy with it.
Sure.
And then see where it comes from that. But
you just got faced.
That's a business. That's the business goal. That might be the best business goal, you know. But,
yeah, it's just...
Sure.
And that's where I think a lot of people, you know, kind of forget that. You know, a lot, and when I mean people, I mean, you know, musicians. And there's people that are like, you know, even last night we played this show at Public Assembly, and one of the guys that played slide guitar for us, good friend of mine, he goes to me, he goes, hey, you know, you guys don't have any merch yet. And I said, well,
merch.
I mean, like, well, what would you really want to buy from us right now? You want a T-shirt with my face on it? You know, Ramona Dillon and his big
lips. I kind of do.
You know,
I'm not going
to
lie to you.
You know, on a big, you know.
Catcher's mitt lips.
You know, yeah. So what?
Puerto Rican lips.
Wow, you guys are so harsh.
You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's really, you know, I said, hey, we're going to create a record and, you know, maybe something will come out of that. Maybe a shirt or maybe.
A record.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe like music or music, whatever. Music. You know.
Exactly. You know, and that's where I was just like, well, we don't really need that yet. You know, it doesn't, just because we have T-shirts and. Stickers at this level,
sure,
it's not going to make our music any better.
So how do you go about going, all right, we're going to get together, probably like you guys, Ramon and Dylan, we're going to write this music, later we'll get a couple other people, go out on tour. How does it go from going, all right, we're going to try to make money on this, we're going to try to do this right, do what we want, and then take it into that next level of being able to succeed in doing this?
It's a good question.
You know, it's all just got to, you know, things have to go in order.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
so
like
it's a step by step thing.
For us, it's always been, I mean, from blowing off work, you know, to now, it's always been just about like being able to make music and being able to express yourself and, you know, just trying to create something cool. And, you know, I think that, I think that the way like I take things in the world that I like is, you know, I just see them and, you know, I love them and I'll get invested in it just off of that. And I think all the planning that you could try to do as a band or, you know, no matter how many people you try to friend on Facebook or, you know, like, you know, get like MySpace bots on your computer, like running 24/7, you know, none of that is going to, you know, none of that is going to make you play well. None of it's going to make you, you know, feel good about what you're doing, you know, and none of that's definitely not going to make people, you know, get really into what you're doing.
Have you gotten that to the point where you had like a critics like write about you guys or like, write something up in the Village Voice or something here or something there.
They said they wrote up.
Get into that
they,
mic.
On the website.
Will tells me they wrote up the show we played last night, so nice. We're about to find out.
Nice. All right, this leads me to today, May 22nd, is National Cater Waiter or Waiter.
Cater Waiter.
Cater Waiter Appreciation Day. It's the national day. Have you guys, I know It's okay. You can go to the bathroom.
Everybody's
that
cool.
That bathroom is... I'll let our listeners at home. That bathroom right now is getting used. I don't know what it is with these guys, but they got small bladders. Yeah, it makes me feel okay because I have a small bladder. I go all the time. It could be the tasty Budweiser.
It's, I think it's the beers.
It's the tasty it's Budweiser. The beers. So National Cater Waiter Day. Have you guys ever waited tables?
Ramon is the
Ramon has. I've actually done some catering events, which were actually a lot of fun. I didn't really mind it, and I got paid a lot of money, so it was awesome.
Yeah, I did some catering events thing. Yeah. Called, like, we did. We used to do like benefits at museums, and like, you know, all these like rich people would just show up, decked out to the nines, and you basically just had to like put a plate in front of them.
That's
and,
good.
You know,
I used to.
Out.
Yeah, these guys so polite.
I did one at the Brooklyn Brewery.
Glass,
we got to sample all the latest beers
nice.
And.
Nice. Well, a buddy of mine, Mike Hedges, he has been doing these catering survival principles, and he's been posting them up on Facebook, and I'm just going to give a few of them because I think they're pretty funny.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. I was trying to get to that.
You're trying to get to that. All right. So I'm going to give number five, catering survival principle number five. Walk with a purpose, stopping occasionally to squint your eyes and make random authoritative hand gestures. In this way, you will appear to be performing a task. All right. Let's see here. I like number four. There are medical emergencies, there are national emergencies, but there has never in human history been a catering emergency. Now, I'll give this a little backstory on Hedges. He's a cater waiter pro.
He just stopped by. Like
he just stopped
20
by.
Minutes ago.
Stuff. He's like, I can't stay. What do you need?
He never does.
I'm just getting.
He's right, getting glasses. Just everybody's
make
cool.
Home. Make yourself. All right, let's give a.
646-915-9228. I feel like when we have a band in here, everyone is too timid to call up and talk. But
if you have a. Well, you guys are going to play a song in six minutes, if that's okay.
Six minutes. You're really sticking to Christos's time.
He's the producer. He's producing.
Right.
All right, one more catering principle, and then we're going to get to something else. Catering principle number one. There are no heroes in catering. And this is one that I firmly believe in because you see those guys. I've done my fair share of catering. I still do. It's one of those jobs that I do to make money. You know, it's a paycheck every now and then.
Why not?
But there are these guys that are just out there and they're lifting stuff and they're trying to be all heroes. And I'm like, bro, you are getting paid the same amount of money as this joker right over here. Team effort, man. You don't have to be a hero.
It's kind of the same thing like if you just say you work in the mall and... Not saying I steal things from the mall, but if I was to go into a store and take something, and if someone saw me, it's like, why be a hero and, you know, tell somebody about me stealing something? You're getting paid the same amount of money. You're not going to get a reward if you turn me in or you run after me in the mall. Because I've heard of people, like friends of mine, that have actually stolen things from, like, Zoomies or something, and they try to walk out with it, and someone runs after them and, like, is a hero. I'm like, what the fuck is the point of that, you know?
Mm. Thief.
So do you think? So I'm getting this thing from Christos.
Who can we, I just say he's doing a great.
He's doing a great job.
This
he's feeding us all this stuff. He's
great.
Really great.
He's
great
really
guy.
Like a producer of the year.
Who brought us the band in? So let's Ramon give credit to where it is. He wants to talk about how if you're doing a day job, there is a bit of selling out to it. You know, like you're doing the catering thing. And that's what he's talking about. I don't know if I completely agree with that. I think you need to pay the bills. You do it however you can. Nothing, huh?
I was writing the levels on the audio board. I got a lot going on over here. I'm sorry. I got the computer, the levels.
You mean selling out in the sense of that you're an artistic person and you're doing something else?
Working for the man.
Okay.
See, I personally wouldn't have a problem like if the government asked me to make some radio announcement stuff. I'd be like, yeah. How much are you going to pay me? I have no problem with selling out whatsoever. So it's cool with me.
I think like a passionate person is always going to follow that passion. And
Whatever
gets in the way of that is not going to stop them from following that thing that they love.
It's like, thanks for paying for my music. You know,
thank you. Exactly.
You're awesome.
Speaking of music, nice segue there, Dylan. We would love to hear another song from you guys if you guys are ready.
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah,
is that okay? I mean, what, you guys want to come here and talk?
I got to do my makeup first.
You got to make up.
These guys.
Yeah. One thing before we get there. So I had this idea a few years back on how to save the music industry. Because the music industry, we all can agree, is kind of dying, right? To some certain extent, it's becoming this online thing where
dying,
depending on what you
like
say,
like a caterpillar.
Dying.
All right, so there we go.
Into our radio show, the music industry is dying. We got Raymond and Dylan.
We have Ramon and Dylan in here, so that's actually something that I want. We'll come
Raymond
back to
one more time.
That's hilarious. So we'll talk about
Ramon.
We'll talk about Ramon and Dylan saving the music industry when we get back. But I got a great idea on how I think we can save it. So we'll leave it with that.
The rapture.
the rapture. That's the way to do it. What's the name of the song we're going to play right now? I like how you just kind of got like musical chairs of instruments.
Yeah.
Everybody's all around. Dylan's now was on keys, is now on guitar. Ramon, not Raymond, because this son of a bitch will call you whatever he feels like, is now on keys. Okay.
My show.
My show. It is. It is.
My rules.
We got Leslie over here on percussion.
There are no rules.
We're just going around. So another interesting thing I want to talk about is songwriting and how you guys control that. Like, who is a more songwriter, the leading songwriter?
What happened?
What?
You just got really hot.
No, it's cool. Everybody's all right.
Oh. I feel like there's
no.
Yeah.
That's what the girl with the beer goggles said.
Exactly. We'll talk about the leader of the songwriting, who writes more songs, or is it more collaborative, and all that. Actually, we could talk about it right now before we go.
All
the above. You know, yeah. It's really, there's, I think what the essence of being in a band sometimes is, you know, you kind of play everyone's songs. Depending on the kind of band, you know, for the most part. But I think that's how we operate. For the most part, a lot of times, Dylan is kind of the main songwriter, the core, you know, chords.
So all the girls should go to Dylan, you're saying?
I'd say.
But yeah, it's just...
Cardigan. Would you like to say into your microphone? Seriously, he's got such a problem with microphones.
There's, you know, there's been certain songs that we've written where
first time
it was based on a guitar part I had, and he wrote...
Nice.
Lyrics too, and a melody, and we kind of figured out a way to just make it a full song.
Fantastic.
And then also there's just a lot of songs that really started with Dylan just on acoustic guitar, pretty much writing the whole song, you know, all the chords, all the lyrics. But then after that, there's just this other stage of, all right, well, how do we really want this to sound on record, and how do we want to play this? And that's really where both of us collaboratively arrange the song.
Sweet. Very sweet. I like it. So the next song you guys are going to play was written by Dylan and Ramon?
Well, this song was actually written by Dylan. He has this side project he's been working at. It's called Home Sweet Home, and there's a monster in every attic. Kind of has two titles. And
I like it. There is a monster.
What it
in
is,
every
it's going to be.
Turn me up a little bit. I'm too low. Turn me goddamn up. Turn me up.
Not listening. I think you're just getting drunk.
Just relax.
Getting drunk and like getting hot into that mic.
Who shows this?
What that's going to be is actually just...
Christo says you sound great, so shut up.
You guys are looking good.
Dylan's doing kind of like one...
We're not even listening to these guys anymore.
28. Yeah.
All right, hold on for a second. I got to yell at this motherfucker. All
right. The showcase showdown... I can say anything right now. Yeah, but okay. But yeah, no... The Home Sweet Home and There's a Monster in Every Attic is Dylan's project that he's been working on for a couple of years, and it's basically a long 28-minute song, but everything kind of, I mean, I might be explaining it properly, I hope so. Every song is kind of going into one another, but there's a lot of different sounds on it. He showed it to me, and I was like, I think we got to do that one song you're doing in the middle of this.
I like it.
And so he pretty much had this already completely written.
Nice.
And then after that, I kind of, you know, in the preliminary demo...
Smell a hit.
Did some, preliminary, like, glockenspiel stuff. We added this kind of, like, tom thing, and that was really it. You know, and now I'm kind of just, you know...
So this is Home Sweet Home.
No, this is it called...
That's
do you
the
listen
project.
At all?
Yeah,
that's the project.
That's the project.
That's the album.
Gotcha. We got a website for Home Sweet Home?
Not yet.
Okay, not yet.
We'll let you know.
So the song is called...
Can't Explain.
Yeah, and also to just even thinking about saying about the song title, Can't Explain, that's also another thing that we both kind of, I think collaboratively, you know, sometimes Dylan will write a song and just not have a title. And then sometimes I'll just be like, hey, I think we should call it this. And... it just kind of works.
Sure.
You know, Can't Explain, I think, is kind of, you know, an example of that.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Also, the Sleeping Robots, the other song we played, you know, he kind of wrote a lot of, you know, just all the part, like all the main parts, but then sometimes I'm like, hey, well, maybe we should cut this verse down. But then he's like, well, it's taken away from the story. But I'm like, oh, well, the story's still going to get told if we cut this verse out.
Totally.
And,
I hope they play the song.
Yeah, you want to play? Yeah.
Let's play.
No, yeah, I like what you guys are doing.
Ask all these questions. Sorry.
Yeah, I got a piss. So
yeah.
Boy, you got some nerve. Boy, you got some nervous way about you.
say they sound insane. Gets his lines, stares and stutters and tries so hard to be witty.
Ramon and Dylan.
Ramon.
I need
as he
you.
Drills and hammers his brain and spills the remains on the streets of New York City. So push my hands through your hands. Apply pressure where you need to. I'd do anything for you if you'd promise to be see-through. But this
the second time. Didn't mean to cut you off, guys.
Are you sure they're over?
Ramon and Dylan. Thanks, guys. Can't
so push my... No, I'm kidding.
I totally thought you guys were done. So, no, that was great. Can't Explain. That was a great song.
That's the name of it? Can't Explain? I like it.
Working title.
But you're not on the mic, so...
It's all right. He doesn't care. He's done with
not on mic. You're walking away from it.
These guys are rock stars.
It's a working title.
Ramon doesn't even need a mic.
Fuck a mic.
Yeah. Oh, shit. So I do want to play in a couple minutes. Give us a little bit more for our listeners who just tuned in about this Cody Beware guy. Well, actually, I want to give a little visual for the listeners at home. Will over here has been sucking his fingers, biting his... He's had some finger problems, I guess.
Oh, man.
He was doing a drumming on this guy today.
I think he's hungry.
We were filming a video shoot for Cody, and...
we set up in this basement. It was this dirty little basement. They had it all set up with all these broken drumsticks and, you know, disheveled looking and lights. It was like, you know, a legitimate setup. They had lights and good cameras and everything. And
that doesn't mean anything, really.
Doesn't mean anything, but, I mean, we'll see the final product. It's probably, I have faith, so... They're asking me to, like, rock out. They need energy, so I'm trying to, you know, get people hard. Into it. We're playing with the guitar player. He's not even plugged in. We're, like, playing to a track. And
hitting it hard.
Yeah, we're hitting hard, and I ended up getting a really big blister on my finger, which I'm not used to. I mean, you know, take years out of your life to study technique, and that's not what they teach you.
No, definitely not what they teach you.
Will was really rocking out. Like, I've never seen him rock out like that.
So we're going to play a song from Cody Beware, and it's C-O-D-Y, then B-Ware. It's like Cody
like
B.
Like Coco Beware from the 80s wrestler.
Sure.
Cody's a huge
Let's talk for a second.
Moment of silence.
Moment of silence.
Macho.
For the macho man.
Randy Savage.
We're gonna have a drink.
Yeah. That guy was amazing. I remember watching him when I was a kid and just being like starstruck. He was one of the big ones, you know?
Yeah.
And he was absolutely insane. I spent a lot of time over the past week watching whatever YouTube videos were online of him doing interviews and stuff. He made sense whatsoever.
No. Have you seen the cup of coffee? That was
unbelievable. And like when we were kids, we thought that was the best thing ever.
He's like so completely coked out.
I don't know if you ever saw a lot of the who's the other guy, the Ultimate Warrior. The Ultimate Warrior has a bunch of interviews too.
Recent interviews where he's like the biggest tool ever, like roaring out. It's like, it made me like disregard everything I ever thought about him.
Yeah, exactly. Guy was insane.
All right, so Cody Beware.
So Cody Beware. Coco Beware.
So you're welcome home.
This is called, it's called Welcome Home. It's off of an iPod, so I might have to ride the levels up a little bit.
Do what you got to do, buddy.
Christos, I'm sure, is going to let me know how it sounds.
You should ride the levels up.
Sure.
Ride the levels up. All right, of course. This is Welcome Home by Cody Beware.
Now turn it up on the board.
Let's start over.
You kill me sometimes.
Are we on the air right now?
We're totally on the air.
What?
This is how we roll.
Our mics are still on?
Yeah, mics are still on because he didn't turn us down. I can't stand putting him in charge
of things. Sorry for the coughing. We were breathing in dust all day.
This is Cody Beware.
And turn everyone else down, please.
Welcome home, take two.
Kind of hate you sometimes.
I swear to mama and the shining sun. Think they came, but I am
Cody, beware.
Cody, beware.
And I tell you, for our listeners at home,
what's that?
We, you know, if it doesn't work the first time, we're gonna do it another time, and we're gonna have some good, clean audio. So you guys, hold the phone. That was Cody Beware. I'm guessing he was...
Hold the phone.
He's from right here in Queens.
He's from right here. I'm guessing he was...
Testicle Tuesdays.
Was he a black guy?
No.
He's not a black guy?
He's a...
Is that, turn he's that a half the phone Puerto, down. The phone? Last one.
He's half Puerto Rican, half French, Scottish, you know, Jewish.
Wow.
A little bit of everything. I'm not going to name drop who his uncle is, but...
He's got connections.
Can you write it down for me? I need to know now.
But it's really cool, you know, and that's really where he gets this natural performance element to him.
Camino?
Oh, no, it's Perry Farrell. Jane's Addiction.
Perry Farrell. Nice. You know, that's not a bad little thing that happened.
You know, his blood uncle, and, you can definitely, you know, it's his mom's. His father's also an incredible bass player. So he really just has music in his veins. Not a black guy.
I'd say he looks Spanish or something.
Yeah, very close. He looks like my brother, kind of.
And so you guys were his backup. So this music video that you guys showed. Oh, these guys, not you.
Dylan and I were in the crowd. Liam and I were rocking out.
Yeah. We were rocking the fuck out.
We were representing.
I had a headache afterwards from banging my head so hard.
I think you had a headache.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Liam got dust in the back of his throat.
You can get the cleanest Cody Beware audio available on the internet at CodyBeware.com.
Nice.
Shameless plugs. Free download.
I might download
that.
Welcome home. Yeah, the album's great. It's more or less a concept record. And nice. You know, you'll find a lot of like snippets, you know, of his mom. You know, just kind of like, I can't really describe it. Talking about Cody. Yeah, more or less talking about Cody.
A lot of different influences across the board. He's very close to his mother.
You know? Could he come on this show and do an acoustic set? Or is that maybe...
I think we could do that.
I think we could work that out.
Let's make this happen.
I'll talk to his agent.
turn that up.
I just did.
I know you did.
Stop it. All right, we're doing it again. There we go.
Just turn it down a little bit. All right, so we're pretty much towards the end of the show. Thank you guys for coming out. And I do want to say... that you don't have headphones on, but we do a subject here where you guys are the dude of the day for coming in, playing out, rocking out, really, really bringing it home. And you guys, we thank you.
Yeah. Ramon and Gillis,
thank you.
And Yellow Bird with 3Ds.
Turn the music down still a little bit.
And Will Fagan.
Will Fagan.
Yeah.
Will Fagan coming in.
So you just played a show at Arlene's Grocery.
Right, no. Arlene's Grocery was May 5th.
Cinco de Mayo.
This weekend we did Union Hall on Friday, and then we did Public Assembly. Yesterday we opened the show, and then Will and myself closed with Cody Beware last night.
Nice.
It was Cody's record release.
Nice.
Parties for the end of the world.
So where can we see you next? Right, they can listen to us at Dave and Giggles, but where can we hear you guys next?
You know, to be honest, right now we are...
In New York City?
Yeah, I mean, we're focusing on writing this, you know, finishing this record. I don't want to say writing because it's mainly written, but we just need to kind of, you know... I guess finish the record.
Finish the record.
Yeah.
So you don't really have a release date yet?
No.
It's kind of like go to RamonandDylan.com.
That would be kind of just like a taste.
I just
sent Cody a video of you rocking out to his song, and he goes, "Why is he whiling?" I said he's listening to Welcome Home. Also, got to say hi to Pam Jones, who is listening to us right now.
Thank you, Pam.
Oh, hell yeah.
Pam. You guys want to know about Pam Jones?
Do we have time for Pam Jones?
Oh, come on.
We got a 30-second story here.
She's bad. That's all I got to say.
Nice. Big shout-out to Christos, our producer, in the back room, riding our levels.
I do want to, real quick, do you guys have any plugs before we go? Like other bands, Cody Beware, any other bands you want to talk about?
The only music you should ever listen to is Yellowbird, Cody Beware, and Ramon and Dylan.
And Bad Rabbits.
Yeah, we'll plug Bad Rabbits. And Ear Press. Bad Rabbits.
Yes.
Send the wolf.
Yeah. Send the wolf.
That's pretty sweet.
We're going to get you guys in again. Maybe when the release party happens, we'll get you guys in again.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to thank Ryan from Flux Productions, David from Brooklyn Watches, Kumquat Capery, Cupcakery from...
What the hell?
Britty from Kumquat Cupcakery. That's a weird word to say.
Righty.
That's a tongue twister.
Extinct... Siglar from Extinct Optics, Georgie from Fun and Raw Chocolates, and the guys from Brooklyn Soda Works. Those are the guys we interviewed today down at the Williamsburg Waterfront.
Oh, very nice.
So, cool.
Good show, guys. Good show,
guys.
Thanks
for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks
for having us, man.
When you guys release party, let's do it. Let's do a couple songs here.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, guys.